gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. MSNBC's David Schuster coming up in less than half an hour on Celebrity Hotline.
The busiest man in showbiz.
Mm-hmm. Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat of Kentucky, next hour. And comedian Margaret Cho in hour number three, the funniest woman alive.
She's got so much stuff going on. She's got like a tour coming up. She's on a new Lifetime show, Drop Dead Diva.
Slacker.
And she's on E's Chelsea Lately tonight.
Why, she's practically Jamaican.
That's right.
All right.
What? Huh?
What?
You know, they had like all had six jobs. Remember the old In Living Color sketch?
No.
Okay. Other people know what I'm talking about.
You're kind of dating yourself there.
Okay.
That was what, 1991?
It's... Yeah.
Shut up, you fly boys. All right. Oh, this
Stephanie,
hour...
that was 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. This hour of
actually, I was a flyboy in my previous life during World War II.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Chevy Open House. We made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only.
I know.
Stop
bitching,
the ZR1!
Stop bitching about the ZR1. Always want what you can't have.
Yeah.
All right.
I look fairly ridiculous in it, my age.
Hey, baby. I've got a ZR1.
I'm guessing that may actually lead to a rush on ZR1. What? Yeah. What do you mean I can? I want that one.
No, the one I can't have. That's not what I want.
Chevy's like, yes.
Yes. Their plan is working perfectly.
I love it when a plan comes together. All right. The president, of course, over the weekend, a mini can of whoop ass on health care reform, mm-hmm. a medium one, and then tomorrow night will be the big ass can
right.
of mm-hmm, whoop ass.
Now, we've talked this problem to death year after year. But unless we act and act now, none of this will change.
All right, we will update you on all the latest. It's getting really complicated.
But there was movement in the last 24 hours in both the
was.
House and the Senate.
Really? There was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll update you on that as the show goes on.
None of it had to do with Governor Hot Pants. Never mind.
No. And this all despite Dick Morris.
What? I beg your pardon?
Who says that the point of this, Jim, you know what the president's plan really is, and that is to take health care away from the elderly.
What?
What?
His attitude is, I want to complete a socialist takeover of the United States before my popularity runs out. And if I'm a one-term president, I don't care. I accomplished my objective. And we are stuck. Everybody has to understand, when he talks about lowering the cost of health care, mm-hmm. he's talking about denying health care to the elderly.
Oh.
What?
What?
Oh. Maybe the president will go into more detail about his plan to take health care away from the elderly tomorrow night.
What a moron.
He is a moron. I mean,
clearly he's a socialist. That's why he's giving all that money to Goldman Sachs.
So let me get this straight. He doesn't care if he's a one-term president as long as he completes his socialist takeover.
Socialist agenda. Socialist Muslim agenda because he's born in Kenya.
Which mostly includes taking health care away from the elderly. Okay.
They're going to take away Dick Morris's oxygen tent. That's what he's afraid of.
I need my oxygen tent. I can't breathe.
You know what it is? I think there's just like that one last prostitute toenail was just too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for before that, it was fine. It was roughage, but then there was that one last one.
And it's
that
still lodged.
Made him permanently sound like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way he sounds now.
Obama's commie, socialist, Muslim, bad Christian.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's because it's always, it's just that one, like, husk of popcorn. It's not the whole thing. It's just that one that sticks right there in that one cord. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's still there when you wake up in the morning.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And see, I bet you they're still trying to slap Dick Morris on the back to get that last prostitute Tono out of there, and they just can't dislodge it.
Sounds more like he's got the whole cob shoved down his throat. I can't finish the sentence.
What does it say?
He always sounds like he's run up like a staircase in a fire, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, Bill, you know what I'm showing up? Barbara, do it! Well, here's what I think. I think he's going to...
You know, I do. I actually need to hear that whole ridiculous screed again.
All right,
really do.
Here we go.
Of all the ridiculous things that Dick says,
His attitude is, I want to complete a socialist takeover of the United States before my popularity runs out.
Right.
And if
then
I'm one-term president, I don't care. I accomplished my objective. And we are stuck. Everybody has to understand, when he talks about lowering the cost of health care, he's talking about denying health care to the elderly.
Everyone's got to understand, I pulled this completely out of my ass because I can't have every idea.
He did have one gasping for breath in the middle of that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I don't care. I want to protect.
What does it say about Bill Clinton?
He sounds like Muttley. Smutley. What was the dog?
Muttley.
Muttley.
Smutley. That was the X-rated version.
Yeah.
Well, he's Smutley because he's mostly with hookers.
Yeah.
But yeah, Muttley, Snidely Whiplash's dog,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like.
I'm a socialist. I don't care. I'm a socialist. I can go home to Kenya.
Now you sound like a wacky racer.
You know, I didn't get any sleep last night.
Wonderbug.
And I'm just going to make him keep doing that all morning. I'm just going to be that girl in class. Do it again, Jim. Do it again. All right.
What does it say about Bill Clinton's judgment that he hired Dick
Morris?
Yeah.
Listen.
And pardon Mark Rich.
He'll never turn on me. He is loyal as the day is long. He's made an industry out of turning on the Clintons.
Exactly.
All right. Mama will be in San Francisco this weekend. Ooh, yahoo! Saturday night.
San Francisco.
Go to the calendar.
Sam Clams Disco.
Sam Clams Disco.
Okay.
What?
For Girls Night Out, our event for our Green 960, our big station in San Francisco, go to the calendar section of stephaniemiller.com. Also, Mama will be in Seattle August 8th for the town hall with all my other buddies, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, Ron Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
So join us in Seattle as well. Calendar section, stephaniemiller.com. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward,
or
me.
What's the song for Seattle? Something from Pearl Jam or
Nirvana.
Nirvana, yeah.
All right, I have a couple of stories from the Animal Stack to make people feel better about their own lives.
Okay.
In this economy, you know, you're losing your house, you lost your job, whatever. The point is,
whatever.
You don't have to put moisturizer on an elephant's ass.
And thanks God.
Why does God an elephant's ass need moisturizer?
Because it's crinkly. The Belfast
Zoo. Well, elephants are crinkly.
Hmm?
Elephants are crinkly.
Yes. Well, the Belfast Zoo is home to four female elephants in what is effectively a retirement home for older elephants. So you could work at a retirement home and have to rub moisturizer on old female elephants' asses.
How did Belfast get saddled with an elephant retirement home?
I don't know. They've been having a problem of dry skin, as many of us older gals do. particularly around their area. Yeah. Under veterinary advice, the elephant team tried many different creams. Oh. To soften the skin of... Okay, the olive oil is not working.
They need some night skin.
Oh. Please.
Lots of it.
Type Stephanie in the referral box at checkout, won't you?
Tanker full.
A female keeper came to the rescue suggesting the moisturizing cream she uses from a supermarket. The elephants now get moisturized regularly. Cream is applied to the elephant's feet and bum and body. And that's
good for them.
Job. Who's the lucky person that gets to do that?
I don't know.
Because, you know, when you're around an elephant's butt, it eats hay and it farts.
Yes. I am a broken down old drunken dog woman. However, I'm not a woman in New Jersey with 150 cats. We have found yet another cat lady.
Oh, no.
A woman accused of keeping 150 cats in her New Jersey mansion. Oh, dear.
Oh, bless
her heart.
Has been ordered to pay more than $35,000 in fines and restitution. Yikes. She's like that woman you remember that had she won the lottery and she bought a separate house for her cats. She had she had about that number.
Yes, she did.
And then she died. Why, Chris?
Because she was allergic to cats.
Yes.
Here, kitties. Here, Twilight. Here, Boxcar. Teddy, where's Mommy's little shoe face? Come, popcorn. That's right. Frisky time. Frisky. Help Mommy.
Nobody helps Mommy.
No.
I blame Boxcar.
No, it was shoe face. Okay, we can't hear that bit enough. Let's
I
check some other entertainment news, shall we, kids?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller!
Thank you very much. Our top story, actor Russell Crowe, who plays Robin Hood in an upcoming film, seems to have been influenced by the fame and generosity of his character, as he gave a film member £5,000 to buy a new car.
A crew member?
Of his film.
Cool.
The Gladiator star gave Denise Yard £5,000 so she could buy a new car after her old one went up in flames.
Aww.
And apparently he joked about it and felt
bad. And then he felt bad, yeah, and that cost him £5,000.
Aww.
Okay, we have Russell Crowe.
It's a trailer for the
movie. A trailer, yeah.
A time of war. A time of homecoming. A time of tyrants. A time of joking about some vint whose car burst into flames, knowing full well she couldn't afford to replace it when you're pulling down serious bank for running around the forest in tights. A time when you spot her 5,000 quid, because holy daily, you won't miss it in the fair dink of Sheila, who's in your debt, will be grateful enough to have a gal at your donger at any tick of the clock. Your Dax will be busy as Bork Street at rush hour, and no mistake. Coming soon. Pig's ass. I'm not even in the nutty yet, no worries. Give the old fella a chance. I'm not a no-hoper in the route department. She'll be right. Struth, take a squeeze.
What he said.
And finally, actress Sienna Miller reveals that she nearly burnt her breastises making the new movie G.I. Joe.
Ow!
The Rise of Cobra. She said she nearly suffered the rather undignified occurrence when an explosion got too close for comfort. She said, luckily it wasn't my breasts, it was the bit in between. You know, Jim, that bit in between.
Mm.
It got a bit burnt when an explosion got a bit close. For some reason, that guy that banned the sexy teenage cheerleading in Texas.
Representative Squeezy McFeel Pants.
Oh, he had some thought.
Oh, my. My, 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 my. Well, howdy do. Pop my blisters and call me juicy.
Oh.
It seems the delightful Sienna Miller nearly had the great misfortune to have burned her lovely mammograms while filming G.I. Joe. What a tragedy that would have been. The loss. The grief. And she would have had a hard time with the situation, too. Luckily for her, I have, in the course of my love doctor training, been instructed in the proper treatment and healing of burns, a necessity for one so hot as I. I must away to Miss Miller to inform her of the dangers of delayed reaction burning, which can set in and cause damage at any time after the initial trauma. I have at my disposal unguents, creams, emollients, and salves of great efficacy in the soothing of breast tissue. Coupled with my patented manual application techniques, by means of which I shall bring her lady lumps gradually to a level of heat approaching the danger zone, and then allow them to cool and refresh, and repeat the process again and again and again, until after a week or so of close personal attendance to her girly bumps, they should be fortified as never before against the ravages of excess heat. I call it pasteurizing the milkshake, and many women have had the benefit of my attentions. I recently added an oral technique designed to give the little gumdrops a bit of extra prophylaxis.
What? But I'm a doctor! In the same way Dr. Phil is a doctor. Oh, why don't we move on?
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends, if you'd like more Jim Ward, balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there's a title ad at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Yep. Buy the album, don't you?
We have a correction.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay, listener Eric writes and says, Muttley was the sidekick of Dick Dastardly.
Not
Snidely Whiplash. Snidely Whiplash was the foe of Dudley Do-Right.
Yes.
That's right. We apologize. However, whoever that dog was sounds just like Dick Morris.
It was Muttley.
And it was not Dishonest John.
No.
All right.
Kelsey, so help.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, I have one more porn story.
Oh. Yeah.
Speaking of Squeezy. And okay. Then on to health care.
They're not unrelated.
Which is a different obscenity altogether.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's insurance company profits. Okay, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh boy, here come the stalkers.
It is.
Stephanie Miller.
What'd you get caught in your throat?
I'm not entirely certain. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I thought you had Dick Morris disease.
President Obama's a socialist.
I may have inhaled a prostitute's toenail that Dick Morris coughed up. I don't know. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yes, let's talk about sex just one more moment, just because this is the oddest story I've read recently. Porn actor gets 3 to 8 years in Pennsylvania rooftop break-ins.
What?
But wait, he has a twin.
That's weird.
Yes, a porn star who is accused of using a handsaw and an axe to break into stores through their rooftops while his twin brother and occasional co-star...
Ew.
He's a twin brother porn co-star guy.
Yeah. Oh.
Acted as a lookout, is going to prison for at least 3 years. Talon Goffney, you know, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who appeared with his brother in such gay skin flicks as Mark and the Twins.
Wait a minute, he appeared with his brother?
Yeah.
Gay incest porn.
Dude,
not my thing.
That's a niche.
I am not one of your
Not exactly.
fans.
He was arrested after police say they saw the twins up breaking into a beauty shop. That is just, that's the weirdest story I've seen recently. Stars and gang porn with his brother.
Brother. That's,
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That completes the family value section of the show. All right. Let's move on to other obscenities like insurance company profits, as I mentioned.
I bet he's going to go on to be a senator. Republican senator or congressman.
They always do.
All right. Christopher, could you give us the update? Give us the fun facts on health care, and you mentioned the movement that has been made since yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me get the fun facts.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Senator Max Baucus said yesterday that a closed-door meeting between the Dems and the GOP in the Senate resulted in a tentative agreement on several substantive issues as part of what is considered the first possible bipartisan health care bill.
So are you starting to feel that creeping dread that comes with knowing that you may be wrong again and I'm right, that we will get health care done this year?
No, I'm starting to feel a creeping happiness that this is what's best for our country.
That's what's best for America. That's right. The president pointed that out yesterday, that this is all about them rooting for his failure once again. Who was it that said, Jim DeMint, Republican of South Carolina, said this is, it's going to be his Waterloo.
Right.
That's exactly what this is. This is not them not caring about what helps the American people, but what hurts Obama.
That's right. And then on the House side of Capitol Hill yesterday, Nancy Pelosi said she was willing to limit a proposed tax increase after Dems, Blue Dog Dems, threatened to revolt on the issue.
Right.
So it looks like they're finding funds. From other places,
Right. It would apply only to families that make $1 million a year or more. The bill now moving through the House would raise taxes for individuals with adjusted gross income of $280 or families that make $350 or more.
Right.
So the speaker would like the trigger raised to $500,000 for individuals and $1 million for families.
And that would satisfy the Blue Dogs.
Right. I'm just saying some movements. And Ed Schultz is on a campaign. By the way, I'll be doing the show on Thursday on MSNBC. But he is talking about, pressuring them not to take a recess until this gets done.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with getting a month vacation?
What?
He put up the numbers of how many people are going to lose insurance, how many people are going to die.
It's hot in D.C. in August. Boo-hoo.
Yeah. All right. 28 minutes after the hour, back with David Schuster next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What I did because of alcohol and anger.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC this Thursday, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. You know I love me some MSNBC.
Yes, you do.
Chris, you know I watch it all day long. Oh. Especially when that dreamy David Schuster's on. What? Who is it, Jim?
What are the odds? It's MSNBC anchor David Schuster.
Oh, he's dreamy.
Keith's mini-me.
Good morning, David Schuster.
Good morning, Stephanie and Chris. How are you guys doing?
I'm just fine. How are you? I did not mean to question your journalistic credentials by calling you dreamy. I'm just saying.
That's quite all right. During all the things that we sometimes get called, whatever you want to say, Stephanie, you've got carte blanche.
Thank you, David. David, this healthcare debate, you didn't tell us this would be on the test. This is getting really hard now. It's getting really complicated. Explain to us what's happening.
I think I the best way to describe it is that we're now into the fourth quarter of the game, of a football game. The president's on the field. He likes to come on the field at the end. He's now trying to exert as much influence as he can. And I do think, I mean, negotiations are difficult because, in part, I mean, think about it. The 43 million Americans who are uninsured, they don't have lobbyists in Washington who are able to contribute huge sums of money to try to influence the debate. So you have pharmaceuticals and the hospitals and the doctors and the for-profit insurance industry that are all also leveraging all of their power to try to hold on to what they have right now and limit whatever pain they might face. And they've got a lot of members of Congress who they're able to influence. And so as a result, it becomes a very complicated debate anyway, along with the fact that people who really want to expand health insurance, there isn't a real clear financial advocate for them. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, my sense, and we've already talked about it on the show, is that there was movement yesterday because, I think for the average person, it's sometimes tough to follow this. I mean, I think as Nancy Pelosi said, this is what legislating is. This is, we're watching the sausage being made. Is your sense that we're going to get this done this year?
Yeah, I think they are moving. One thing that to keep a close watch on, and it's sometimes so inside the Beltway, but Max Baucus, who's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, his committee is sort of the one that has yet to sort of introduce its plan. You've got a plan from House Democrats, you've got a plan from some Senate Democrats, including Ted Kennedy and Chris Dodd, and those particular plans are being scored by the nonpartisan budget office in terms of how much would they save, how much would they cost. The one plan we haven't heard yet from is Max Baucus from the Senate Finance Committee, and that's one where if there's going to be some Republican support, it would likely come from him. And ironically, Stephanie, I actually was on a Delta shuttle flight to New York last week, and there was Max Baucus on the plane. We chatted very briefly, and he was as cool as a cucumber and unruffled. And I said, "Are you going to get this done?" He's like, "Yeah, we're going to get it done. It's not happening as quick as people want, but it's going to happen." And I said, "Is Charles Grassley, the leading Republican, is he going to be on board?" He says, "Well, he really wants to, and I think he will. I think we're going to be able to fashion it." And he said it as if it was just calm and quiet, and no cares in the world. So unless he was putting on a remarkable mask and hiding what's
right.
Going on, I gotta believe that that they're gonna come up with something now.
Yeah, because politicians so seldom lie, David. I could see where you'd
be
startled.
Is gonna be, they may come up with something that essentially doesn't really do anything. I think, anybody can come up with a bill that you can get bipartisan support. The question is, will they take the bold steps that so many people, I think, rightfully argue are necessary to really fix the system? And to that extent, there has to be some pain inflicted on the for-profit health insurance industry, on the pharmaceuticals, on the doctors to a certain extent, on the hospitals to a certain extent, and on all of us to sort of pay for the transition costs. And is there the political will to really take those bold and painful steps? And that's where I'm not sure. And I think that's where the cynic is mm-hmm. wants to say, okay, yeah, they're going to pass something, but I'm not sure how effective mm-hmm. it may be.
As long as we keep our damn dirty paws off Chuck Grassley's sugary drinks, I think we'll be fine, is how I understand it thus far. It's, it is hard watching all these ads, and all is that we're trying to take fruit drinks from families fishing, and I'm not really certain. And Harry and Louise are still bad actors. But that's the thing. It's confusing, like you say, the amount of money and even the amount of money a lot of these politicians are taking from these groups. That that's my concern too. Is the more I hear about this, David, is it going to be meaningful reform?
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's a very legitimate concern. And you talk about sort of the money that's washing through the system. I mean, there was Senator Jim DeMint, who his famous comment, which you probably already talked about, is mm-hmm. that if they can defeat President Obama on this will be the president's Waterloo, that he will never recover politically. Well, maybe that's true, but, think about it. Senator DeMint has taken $5 million from the for-profit health insurance industry the last 3 years, and so his clear mission is to kill this. I mean, his mission is not to provide extend health insurance to his constituents who don't have it. His mission is to do the bidding of the for-profit insurance company.
Yeah, and I think it exposes again, Rush Limbaugh really is the leader of the Republican Party. I mean, it really is another version of they want him to fail. This is politics for them, And that's what I think, the president was right to point out, that, look, this is not about me. We actually just played the most ridiculous soundbite of Dick Morris saying that President Obama doesn't care if he's a one-term president as long as he completes his socialist takeover of America and takes health care away from the elderly. What?
Yeah, I mean, Dick Morris, I Well, I'm not even going to go there.
But, yeah, exactly.
No. The fact that you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, people don't really care who gets the political victory, who gets the political loss, as long as the system gets improved. And I think that's where I believe that the president is coming from. The president looks at this maybe to his. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe he doesn't see it politically enough. But I keep getting the sense that he cares. Look, I want to get this done right, and yes, I want to get reelected, and yes, it's important to sort of maintain my sort of support in the Democratic Party and all that. But I do think this is one of these issues that transcends. For some people, it transcends politics, and the problem is when you have some people who are trying to put the good of the country ahead of the political debate right now, and you have others who see only the political debate. It's sometimes an unfair playing field. Despite that, I still think that the Obama administration is going to get something accomplished out of it.
Well, David, it's interesting you say that. With all these charges of socialism, I mean, I think a lot of our concerns on the left are this isn't bold enough.
Yeah.
Krugman said about the stimulus, it probably wasn't big enough. And that's the thing, is that I think that a lot of people really think single payer is the way to go, but that's off the table. And so that's the thing, is you do start to worry, is this going to be bold enough?
Well, and that's the thing I've never quite understood when people criticize single payer. Last I checked, our military is a single payer healthcare system, and if our men and women who are fighting our wars are fine with a healthcare system that is single payer, why is that not good enough for the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
And so people can argue socialism or whatever they want, government control, but the fact of the matter is it works, at least for the military, and that's a pretty big pool of people.
Right. I mean, we were saying that's all the fear mongering on the right is how awful healthcare is in every other country. And then, we've gotten phone call after phone call, David, every morning of, I got hit in the head by a jart in France at midnight and it cost $1 and the doctor came to my house. It's like one story after another of,
Stalinist hellhole of free medical care.
Places where clearly it works better than here, despite the amount of money we're paying.
I love all the stories of the buses that cross the tunnel and bridge into Windsor, Ontario from Detroit, and they're filled with seniors who are going shopping for drugs because they're a third of the cost of what they would be in the state of Michigan in the United States. I mean, you could go on and on, and it's just, sure, there are benefits and there are problems with both systems, but I think sometimes the debate gets so bastardized that everyone loses context.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, obviously it seems like the White House and even Pelosi, they're now backing off a little of the August deadline. I mean, do you think there's a chance this is going to get done before the August recess?
I think there's a possibility there could be some votes. I mean, I think, again, the House Democrats want to wait and see what the Senate's going to do because for some of the vulnerable, more centrist Democrats, they don't want to necessarily vote for a raise in taxes to pay for this if the Senate's not going to take it up at all. So they don't want to vote until they sort of get a better sense as to what the Senate's going to do. But, again, I think in a way, the White House has made this – I think it's sort of a smart move politically because if the concession from the White House right now is, okay, let's slow this down, let's take the time, but it still means that a bill is going to get passed. I would take that concession as opposed to saying, okay, we're not going to do anything bad to the for-profit health insurance industry the way some want. I mean, I'd rather have the concession be on the timetable than be on the substance of a bill that might hurt people.
Right. Well, Ed Schultz was on a campaign yesterday to say, look, you're not taking a month vacation without getting health care done. I mean, do you think there is a chance they will do that, Nancy Pelosi will say, we're not going on recess until this is done?
I think there's a good possibility. I mean, Mike Vaccaro, our colleague covers the White House, was saying the other day when he was listening to the president's remarks that it was sort of a throwing down the gauntlet of saying, okay, be prepared to work through August because we're going to get this done. And frankly, I think, we're not in election year, so what's keeping lawmakers from working on this? I mean, okay, sure, they want a break. We all want vacations. This isn't exactly the economic climate where I think a lot of people are taking the kind of vacations they want. And if some of us can't take vacations that we want, why can't members of Congress stay in Washington and hammer this out?
Well, and I think somebody did numbers yesterday, I forget from what organization, David, that, the number of people that will lose their insurance in the month that, Congress is on vacation and the number of people that will die. Right. So, I mean, I think there really is urgency in this.
Yeah, and the other thing, Stephanie, that I hear all the time from folks is, look, I just want the kind of health care insurance that members of Congress have.
Yeah.
And that's where, if you've got pre-existing conditions, if you've, you're never denied coverage because of whatever. I mean, if it's good enough for members of Congress, it's good enough for the rest of us. And at a certain point, I think, you know, members of Congress, maybe they want their approval rating to go down below the measly 22% it stands at right now. But at a certain point, I'd hope they sort of get it and say, okay, yeah, let's work and get
Well, you know, that's a really good point. You're going to go on vacation with your fancy government health care plan while I'm out here, you know, with no health, losing my health care this month. I think you're absolutely right. I say take the time, let Ed Schultz knock some Blue Dog Democrat heads together, you know, have a few more town halls, and we'll get this thing done, right?
Yeah, Ed's town halls are great. I mean, I'm a big fan. He's, you know, he's got a lot of passion, and it's, you know, Ed talks common sense, and it's terrific. And I just, and I do hope the Blue Dogs listen to him, because I think Ed's right on this one.
Yeah, well, you know, David, it's the same thing I think all of us are, with, at least with radio shows, are hearing on the phones every day. You know, whether you go out to a town hall or you're taking phone calls, I mean, that, you know, that's where that 75% or whatever number comes from, people that want, you know, health care reform and want a public option and want all the things that, you know, it doesn't seem like Congress is getting done yet, you know?
Right. And it is unfortunate, because sometimes you just get the sense that the only people that a lot of members of Congress are listening to are the ones who already have, you know, the silver-plated health insurance plan and are afraid that they're going to lose it. Well, yeah, okay, I suppose you can be afraid, but I'm afraid for the 43 million people who don't have health insurance who might get sick today, and that cost is going to end up being borne by all of us anyway, so let's get these people health insurance.
David, I love you in a deep journalistic way.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks for taking...
I love you, too.
We're using that as a promo. All right. Thanks, David Schuster. We appreciate it.
All right. You guys have a great day. Call me anytime.
All right.
Being on again.
All right. Yay. Thank you, sir. David Schuster of MSNBC. Love him. 45 minutes after the hour.
You want to date him?
I want to kiss. Okay, 45 minutes.
I think his wife had
that. I think Mrs. Schuster would have something to say about thoughts on that.
Yes.
All right.
She's got a frying pan, so look out.
45 minutes after the hour, right back.
And a guitar.
And a Hannah Montana guitar. All right. Right back with more on the health care debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on the healthcare debate. Hey, buddy, welcome.
Hey, one thing before that is, I just was curious about the MOOC's reaction. How are they living with the Jessica Simpson-Tony Romo breakup?
I'm not even sure. I can't believe they even showed up to work, frankly.
Who's Tony Romo?
He's a quarterback guy. She was, yeah. All right,
doesn't he own a rib restaurant?
No.
Oh. Hey, listen, they're pulling out all stops to stop this health care reform. And yesterday I saw it, a little suburb of Columbus called Worthington. They had two people show up for, like, protest, holding up signs, stop socialism, stop government health care. And it was obvious that these people were being paid, because they had homemade signs, they had all this stuff up. These guys are making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
And their business model is as follows: collect the money, and then when people need the money, say, I'm sorry, we can't pay it.
Yeah. You know, buddy, I was, once again, as, you know, when we get into any of these debates, I'm struck by the fact that I'm really trying to understand the other side. But once again, like, do you get, what is the Republicans' plan? Like, what is their alternate plan except for stopping the president?
Honestly, I think those people would rather see Americans suffer than any positive things happen for our country or for the president.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time, you know, look, it's obvious they're not going to deal with us. Mitch McConnell promised to, oh, I'll work with the president. You've seen how that worked out.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just, you know, when we play, you know, we joke, but we play this Dick Morris soundbite. It's like, what? How do you even debate with people that really think the president's plan is a socialist takeover and taking health care from the elderly? What? How do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not even, like, in good faith an argument. I mean, we know their plan.
For God's sake, just die.
And get out of the health care system. That's all I can suss out from. But it is, like Michael Steele's comments, what constructive purpose does he serve?
Do policy.
That's what I mean. Is that an actual opposition? Like, what, just calling the president a socialist? Michael Steele.
He's conducting a dangerous experiment with our health care and with the quality of our lives.
is conducting a reckless experiment with our economy. Mm-hmm. And is conducting an unnecessary experiment with our tax dollars.
Uh-huh. So Iraq, not an unnecessary experiment with our tax dollars.
But, no, but not at
fixing
all.
Fixing health care.
Bush bailout of mm-hmm. Wall Street. Mm-hmm. That wasn't...
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do skip over that. Many of the things they're criticizing George Bush did. But anyway, that's not important now. The important thing is, honestly, like when you look at these studies, you know, we're 35th in the world, despite that we're paying more for health insurance than any...
35th with a bullet!
I don't get... Seriously, what is their plan? Do they just think it's...
Best healthcare in the world.
I guess that's it, right? They just think it's fine the way it is. Just leave it? Is that it?
I guess so.
Well, they wanted the poor people to die, the useless eaters, so the rich can have... Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. They want their money to keep coming in from the insurance companies is what they want.
Right. All I know is just it's like rich people are their binky. It's just, no, not. You can't tax. Rich people. I don't. It seems like David Schuster was just saying, like, we're all going to have a little pain for this. Like, everybody involved in this to actually fix healthcare. It really is. I get that it's a complicated problem, and that's why it's, you know. It didn't work the last time. That's why we've never gotten meaningful health care reform done. But the president yesterday.
Just the other day, one Republican senator said, and I'm quoting him now, if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him.
Yeah.
And I actually have audio of Jim DeMint saying that it will be his Waterloo. Mm. So here we go.
Okay.
If we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him, and we will show that we can, along with the American people, begin to push those freedom solutions that work in every area of
freedom
our society.
Solutions. Freedom solutions?
Oh,
freedom
they from have a freedom solution.
Freedom from health.
Yes.
And life.
I see. Freedom from your life. Because
freedom from your money that you paid into the system.
Because the pre-existing condition you have is you're alive, and that's unfortunate for you.
And you're going to die eventually, so.
Might as well do it now.
Yeah.
Wow, don't you love we kind of tossed the American people in there like that was an afterthought? Yeah. Oh, and us.
Yeah, the American people.
I mean, but you can hear it in his voice. The point is us. This is about us winning politically and the president losing.
Destroy this country.
Oh, and by the way, the American people are going to get on mute.
So he's wishing.
Freedom solution.
We'll win.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's wishing Obama loses.
Can anyone losing right now or listening right now explain that to me? What does that mean? What is a freedom solution on health care? Have they said what it is?
The freedom of the insurance companies to keep billing people until they die.
You know what? Adding the public option in is making it a lot more free.
Exactly.
So they're against... The Republicans are obviously against the freedom option.
We're not for freedom solutions.
Of the insurance industry to make money at everyone else's expense.
So,
the freedom to ensure healthy people.
President pointing out that this isn't really about him.
This isn't about me. This isn't about politics. This is about a healthcare system that is breaking America's families, breaking America's businesses, and breaking America's economy. And we can't afford the politics of delay and defeat.
Yeah, he vowed to fight the politics of the moment. He did appear to give ground, like I said, on his tight timetable for passages of legislation. He said, we can't afford the politics of delay and defeat when it comes to health care. Not this time, not now. There are too many lives and livelihoods at stake. But, you know, it's looking less and less likely. I will say it's going to get done before the August recess, unless, again, you know, which is what my hope is, that Nancy Pelosi keeps this. We're not getting a recess.
Right.
Guess what? No recess until we get this done.
And the Republicans want to leave? Fine.
Yeah, go ahead. You're just slowing things down anyway.
Right. Yeah. We don't need your vote anyway.
There's the plan. Let just the Republicans go on vacation.
Yeah.
And then we'll finally get something done.
Look how easy it is with no Republicans around.
And I don't, you know what? I don't even think we tell them. We just fake them out. We're just like, yay, everybody school's out
for summer.
Everybody go. Okay, everybody back in. All right, Democrats, back in here. Back in the. Second. Woo! Okay, see you in the fall.
All in favor, aye.
Don't go changing. Love you. Let me sign your yearbook. Okay. And then just slam. Democrats slam the door and get health care done. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with stand-up news and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat of the great state of Kentucky, coming up this hour on Celebrity Hotline to talk health care and much more. And comedian Margaret Cho, the funniest woman in the world, coming up next hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on a GM.
Were you drunk on that?
Unlike Mama, who is fueled entirely by Chardonnay.
That's right.
Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Yay for GM. Okay. All right. The healthcare debate, of course, heating up. The president will give the big speech tomorrow, but he had this to say yesterday.
Let's fight our way through the politics of the moment. Let's pass reform by the end of this year.
If he can get past right-wing tools like Senator Tom Coburn, fresh from his hilarious Ricky Ricardo impersonations at the Sonia Sotomayor hearings.
We can't afford what is coming through Congress right now. There's no way we can afford it on the backs of our kids.
Don't you love
no way
that?
We can't afford
your
it.
Kids get health care, government issued health care, because you're in.
This is the party that left us the $1.3 trillion deficit with the unnecessary war and the flavor.
Whatever.
If they think single payer is so awful, they should give up their health plan.
Thank you.
Live like the rest of them.
All right.
You get dropped by their insurance company because, what, you got sick? That wasn't part of the deal.
Robert Gates, defense secretary, talking about the captured soldier in Afghanistan yesterday.
Our commanders are sparing no effort to find this young soldier. And I also would say my personal reaction was one of disgust at the exploitation of this young man.
By the way, did you see some right-wing tool said about this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, go ahead and kill him. We don't care.
Oh, that was Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, the noted Foxpert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
He was deserting it.
Because the thing is, nobody knows the story exactly, but like we said on the show yesterday, who cares? You pray for his safe return.
Right.
I don't know exactly the story, how he was captured, but it's like...
He said, if this guy just walked down on his buddies and screw him, go ahead, kill him.
Yeah. The Taliban should kill him.
They call everybody on the left troop haters, and it's like, what? All right. James in Atlanta, Georgia writes, Steph, after hearing yesterday's North Korea story about Kim Jong-il being seen in a factory wearing sunglasses, I am filled with an overwhelming need to hear Kim Jong-il singing Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night.
Oh, no.
Jim, I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's a dance voice monkey dance request.
The worst of 80s synth pop.
Whatever happened to Corey Hart?
Too much hookers and blow.
Yeah, probably.
Allegedly.
Singing karaoke somewhere.
Allegedly, yeah.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can watch you with and breathe your story right.
Thank you, Jim. All right. Got that all out of our system.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can see my type of dog when it fly and blow up
Hawaii. Oh, we wound up the voice monkey.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Check out Mama's calendar section. You can find out where you can see me live. San Francisco this weekend, Seattle August 8th. And then let's see, what else? Oh, Ed Schultz Show, doing that this Thursday on MSNBC.
Sure. Are you okay?
I don't know.
You've been stumbling through this first segment.
I am so drunk. Okay. Also, do we have a Steph space? You can tweet and we have a Steph a date or something, don't we?
Sure.
Do we have a MySpace page blog?
Well, no, you actually, on the front page of StephanieMiller.com, you can follow my tweets.
Oh, that is fascinating. Mm. All right.
You don't even know what Twitter is.
I think this was an age joke you sent me yesterday. You sent me a story, single seniors turning to online dating.
Yes.
I may have to go to my own Steph space to find a date. more single senior Americans looking for love online, experts say.
Mm.
Yeah. My nephew, you know, my nephew lives with me part of the year. He saw me reading this, and he said, oh, that is so sweet. I think it's so inspirational that you people in your twilight years can still have sex.
That is true.
You know, some people think old people having sex is gross, but I don't. I think it's beautiful. I was like, shut up.
No, don't speak. Don't
Although you, speak. Don't you might need some of that elephant silence. Cream.
Silence. The don't elephant speak. Butt moisturizer?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Get on. Creepy
all right.
down there.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stay's Broken, our top story. President Obama pushed back hard against Republican critics of his health care overhaul plan yesterday, vowing to fight the politics of the moment, but giving ground on his tight timetable for passage of the legislation. He said, we can't afford the politics of delay and defeat when it comes to health care. We have the rest of the president's thoughts.
I want all you Republican jackoffs to get the hell out of my grill with your constant beefing about health reform plan. Bitch, 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 whine, 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 on and on and on. I swear, if McConnell or Kyle or Boehner or any of those mofos don't put a sock in it, I'm coming over there and putting my old man comforts up some elephant keister. Besides, what are you complaining about? It's not like me or the Blue Dogs have actually cooked up a plan that's going to, you know, reform anything. That would be single payer, everybody in, nobody out, good from the first day, right? Well, shut your yaps and take a look what we got coming down the pike. No single payer, 10 million remaining uninsured, public option that only covers 10 million people, and that is means tested and firewalled so that if you don't like your plan and actually want to use the public option, you can't. And none of it kicks in until 2013 after I've milked the PR for the reform for 3 years and got myself reelected without actually having done anything. So, since you couldn't have done better if you'd cooked it up your own selves, just let me say this to the Republicans. Everybody chill the... I got this.
Oh, dear. Jim has turned on the president. And finally...
saying...
Cupcake is...
Compromise is not going to get it done.
The important thing is there's a really big cupcake... at the mall.
Mall of America.
Guinness World Record says a 150-pound cupcake put on display at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, is the largest of its type in the world. Mm. And you know what that means. Our former favorite former congressman from Illinois. You know, Denny Hastert.
Denny Hastert.
Beefy McBratwurst
yes.
was there.
Mm.
Oh, God. Ain't that just my luck to be a day late and a couple of 55-gallon drums of black coffee short. I pick up the paper this morning, and what do I see? There's a 150-pound cupcake just up the turnpike in Minnesota there, just waiting all by its lonesome. Turnpike's New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. The expressway. The,
yeah.
The, what is it called?
Jack Ryan Expressway.
The Dan Ryan.
Dan Ryan. Whatever.
Jack Ryan.
Somebody.
Jack
oh, that's
Ryan.
The guy from the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Most things in hell don't respond well to bullets. Anyway, back to the bit.
All right. Good.
Just up the expressway in Minnesota there, just waiting all by its lonesome. And normally... breakfast means setting up a table in a bag of Reeman Schneider's house of meat and turning down the mustard tap. But just the other day, I was feeling right for a little change. All the salty pig parts are getting to be a little routine. And truth to tell, all that protein was plugging me up like Lindsay Lohan at a Boy Scout jamboree. Hemorrhoids the size of a knackwurst.
Oh.
Pastry, says I. That's the ticket. But who wants to eat 1,000 cupcakes? Just not efficient. So knowing I could have polished off the behemoth with one hand tied behind my back... and satisfied my sweet tooth and gotten some roughage at the same time is making me so blue I can hardly choke down my usual couple dozen Vienna Red Hat from Flukey's on Dewey Avenue with the extra serrano peppers and good gobs of neon green relish. Now I'm going to have to lay in a case of Massengills and lay in a... and then lay in a case of Massengills,
oh.
You know what I mean? In the meantime, I'm going to comfort myself with a couple 300 pounds of head cheese. Ah, head cheese. Gelatin of pork cheeks and parts I don't even know what they are. Oh, God, that's good. Oh, yeah.
Pig anus. Whatever is in there.
Okay. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com. And buy the album, why don't you?
Oh, I think that would be a dandy idea. Hey, I just got an idea. I'm coming across the news wires here. Can't the president do this? Japan's prime minister dissolves parliament. Can't he just disband Congress?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well,
maybe he should do that tomorrow night. Maybe he can just dissolve. Look, they're in a recession and political gridlock in Japan. Mm-hmm. He just magically dissolved them. Why doesn't he just dissolve Congress?
The Republican side. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, that was our plan, is that Nancy Pelosi should tell them, yes, you're going on vacation.
Vacation.
Yeah, that school's out for summer, but just watch Republicans go. just let all the
obstructionists... Water slides!
Sticks, go.
And huh? What?
Go, everybody! Hey! Woo! School's out forever! Go, Boner! Run, Boner! Run!
Woo! She's on top of our list.
Okay, and then just slam the door and then get health care done.
Yeah.
Just let the Republicans go on vacation.
They're just going to be obstructionist anyway. Just let them go. Go, be free.
I picture Boner at the beach, you know, trying to get Tanner. He has that just that white stuff on his nose and, you know, black socks and sandals. He's like, what? Healthcare? You should have been at the top of the list to get a job with us. And then he'll be blubbering and crying at the beach. All right. Girl can dream.
Getting melanoma is at the top of my list.
David in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hi, Dave.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. I'm in Seattle. Hey.
All right. How dare you move?
The remarks that Senator DeMint, I hate even calling him senator because I think he got in there with vote fraud, but that's another topic. But it reveals, it's so insidious. I shake every time I hear it because it's such a dark agenda that the Republicans have been employing the last 6 months to do anything they can to cause Barack Obama to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have nothing. They're so irrelevant. I mean, since 2006, they've lost House seats, they've lost Senate seats. You know, what else is, you know, they, like Jim had said, they just need to be dissolved, like in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where I got my latest idea from the headline, in Japan. I think that'd be something if that's what his speech was about tomorrow.
I think he can only do that in a parliamentary.
Yeah, we don't have a parliamentary system. We have a Democratic Republic.
Darn
system.
The luck.
I know.
Sticky rules. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. What would we have done if our parents and grandparents had turned down Medicare the way that the Republicans want us to turn down a private pay or not a private pay?
Public option, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, public option. And another thing, why don't they just expand Medicare to cover family coverage and not have to rewrite the whole doggone thing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I joke, but lately that's what I kind of feel like, is if Congress could just get out of the president's way, we could just get a lot more.
The Republicans bitched about Medicare and Medicaid, too. Oh, it's socialism, communism, it's horrible, it's dogs sleeping with cats.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually worked out quite well.
Yeah, exactly. All right, much more to go on the big healthcare debate. There has been movement, is the good news.
Yes, there has.
We will tell you what that is.
You're talking about Benny Hastert again? Oh, not that kind of movement.
No, he's still backed up. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, good. Representing the Rush Limbaugh, Jim DeMint wing of the Republican Party, rooting for the president's failure. It's right wing Jan in Amherst, up the transit from Lackport, Mama's hometown. Hello, Jan.
Hi, guys. Hi, Wooks.
Hello.
Listen, I don't ever mean to be, you know, the fart in the bathroom, you know, but listen, this is just one of these things that Barack Obama is over. His whole agenda is done.
Oh,
the guy
in
Congress,
it is. Yikes, somebody better tell him.
I'm about to put Sarah Palin in power right now.
Listen, it's not about him anymore. It's about these guys getting reelected. His popularity in terms of what they want to do as far as all of his programs, his health care, you know, it's falling below 50%, and these guys are...
No.
His personal approval rating is still about 60. You know, on some issues, I agree with you that the right-wing noise has made a dent.
Well, also, the people are unhappy with the...
Please separate policy from personally. They like him personally.
Yes, but not on all his policies.
But they're angry about the healthcare thing because he's not doing enough.
I don't think that's the case, Jim.
Oh, okay. 75% of people want a public option.
No, listen. Do you honestly think that people are sitting there wondering, thinking his popularity personally on the health care has gone below 50%.
No, it hasn't.
So do you think it's going to go up?
On health care, he's referring to a poll that shows approval for his health care plan at 49%.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but that's because he's not doing enough, not because he's doing too much.
Oh, no, no. Now, listen, I'm predicting he's not going to get either of them. He's really not going to get the cap and trade the way he wants, nor is he going to get the health care the way he wants. So what's going to happen is that where's he going to go? His popularity can't go up because he's going to insist on getting these things done. And the only way to pay for it is by taxing someone. And if you think that his popularity is going to go up by saying we've got to grab more taxes, you guys got another thing coming. I'm just making a prediction, just like everyone else does or doesn't.
Taxing the top 1% for him anyway.
Taxing people that make over $1 million a year might not be as wildly unpopular as you think, John.
Yeah, well, no. Well, what I will say in defense of the rich, which I try to defend, is these people do not have to run companies. They can sit back on the beach and suck their whatever they're drinking these days. They don't have
So they're doing all of us a favor by having...
But a lot of the companies are offshore.
When does it get to be a disincentive to go out and work when 60 to 70% of your wealth is taken by the government? Most people say, why should I bother? I run the risk. I have to keep a payroll. The government can come in and sue me. Well, where's the incentive?
What do you mean these people don't have to work? How do you think they got rich? I mean, your point is what?
How do you think they got rich?
That they would go on the beach and drink things? Pardon me?
No, I think a couple of them worked hard. Like some of your friends, I'm sure they worked hard to get what they want.
Sure.
No, and I don't know if you want to punish them, that's fine. See, my whole point is that I think...
No, it's not punishing them, John. How is paying their fair share punishing them?
Okay, fair share. Let's do something fair. How about for 1 year? The government's already on the hook for 3.5 years.
And by the way, many of the people that have been that lucky are happy to pay a little bit more.
Well, listen, no one is prohibiting anyone from paying more taxes. You know, in fact, we can't actually pay more taxes. Hey, guys, I'm going to ask you something. But did you guys pay any extra taxes this year out of your generosity? Did you? No, I'm not just asking a simple question. There's a yes or no answer.
All right, thank you. John's just an irritant this morning, and I'm too tired. All right.
Quite frankly, I don't make enough to be able to pay extra taxes.
It's just a simple yes or no question, Chris.
And the top 1% have all these offshore tax shelters, so they haven't been paying taxes for years anyway.
The uber rich can afford people to tell them how to hide their money from the federal government in order to get out of paying taxes.
They've been doing for decades.
Here's what I love about that exchange the best is that John thinks he won that argument. He's doing a little dance on the phone right now. Woohoo! See? Yeah, that's no question.
Why did you pay for health care?
Extra taxes,
Why don't you cough up the billions of dollars it's going to take? Why don't you? How come?
Yes, Stephanie.
I mean, you're on the radio. You must be a billionaire.
And what do you mean you don't make enough? I beg your pardon.
You're
paid handsomely here by the Stephanie Miller International.
I don't make enough to offer to pay extra taxes, I'll tell you that much.
Mark in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, I don't know where that goofball gets off saying that there's 60% tax rate for the ultra-rich.
Yeah, really.
Cheney paid 21% total tax burden.
Yeah.
And Bush paid 19 or 19 and 21.
Yeah, less than they paid under their hero Ronald Reagan, in fact. I know. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with the Taxi to Rich! And Nancy Pelosi's latest thoughts on the health care plan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your appearance is comical to me.
I get that all the time.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, you know all the fear-mongering they're doing on the right on how awful health care is in other countries?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this just in the breaking news. The World Health Organization, their latest World Health rankings.
Mm-hmm.
This is the breaking news. France, number one. Italy is number two. I thought that's where health care didn't work. And there we are, the United States of America, 37th, ladies and gentlemen.
Right between Costa Rica and Slovenia.
Our healthcare system slightly better than Slovenia, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, if only there was someone in the thick of the debate that could help us. Yes, Jim.
From the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, it's Representative John Yarmouth.
Oh, my goodness. One of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie.
Good to talk to you, and we need someone to decode what's going on in healthcare for us right now.
Oh, God.
It's hard to keep up.
That's a heavy burden.
I didn't know we were going to be tested on all this, and it's getting more and more complicated. It seems like there was movement yesterday.
Well, I'm glad it seems like that to you.
Yeah.
No, I think there are. You know, one of the things that people have to realize, when you're trying to reform 16-17% of the economy, it's not like you can draft a bill and everything's going to be static and that's the way it's going to be. This is a very, very complicated process. As I've said before, mm-hmm. it's the biggest Rubik's Cube you could ever have to deal with
mm-hmm.
and try to solve. So,
well, there are so many groups. I mean, I was just reading, you know, stories about what groups are doing ads and which ones are going to start doing ads, and it just, you're right. I mean, there are a lot of moving pieces in this, right?
Right, and I think we're almost, in one sense, back to square one on the biggest argument, and that is the cost of not acting. The president's referenced this the last couple of days. I just came from a meeting with Secretary Sebelius. They feel that they have to go back and talk about this because after last week's CBO report, which basically, I think, erroneously or at least misleadingly said that this bill would not do anything to reduce the cost, I think they need to go back and say, you know, if we spend $100 billion a year for 10 years, that's a lot of money, but the cost of not acting is far greater than that. I mean, we've got a structural deficit in Medicare that's probably twice that, which means that if we don't act in 10 years, there's going to be another trillion or $2 trillion worth of added debt. So the cost of not acting is far greater than the cost of acting. And the cost of private insurance, there's an estimate out there, $1,800 increase every year, which means that in 10 years, people are going to be paying over $30,000 for a family policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And speaking of Secretary Sebelius, she talked about the tax surcharge on wealthy Americans to pay for health care is a legitimate way to go forward. She said the taxing benefits, of course, is something the president does not want to do. She
right.
said he's reluctant to move in that direction. And she also said much of the money needed to fund health care will come from cutting ineffective and inefficient programs. I mean, that is going to do some of the work, right?
It is going to do some of the work. And, I think well over half of the work. And, you know, there are ways we can still probably squeeze a few more dollars in savings out of the bill. We can probably drop back a little bit on the subsidy we pay to insure the uninsured. Right now, we're talking about four times the poverty level. That's $88,000 for a family of four. So, I mean, we can scale it back to get the outside revenue figure down a little bit. But again, so I think there is some movement and willingness to work together to solve everybody's objections.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of, I mean, the latest thing she's talking about is that she would soften the proposed surcharge on the wealthy so it only applies to families who make $1 million a year or more, correct? The speaker would like
exactly,
to raise the trigger
yeah.
to $500,000 for individuals, $1 million for families.
Exactly. She said, we had a meeting last night, and she said, and I think rightly so, that when you're talking about $280,000 for an individual, that's still maybe 1% of the population, but a lot of people can envision getting to that level. And
right.
she didn't want to scare people. So she prefers to have it $500,000 per individual, $1 million for a couple, and you still raise an awful lot of money that way if you add the surcharge.
Right.
And you basically
trust
limit
me,
it to very, very few people.
Trust me, in this economy, most of us have no prayer of getting there.
Stop it. We can dream.
But that's
the truth.
She also, Speaker Pelosi also said she'll push to drain more savings from the medical industry, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, health insurers, than they have given up under current health reform agreements with the Senate and the White House. Do you think that's doable?
Well, that's going to be the big fight because, again, you're talking about some very oiled special interests that have a lot at stake here. And I saw the figure just the other day. Insurance companies have spent $120 or $30 million already this year lobbying, and that number's not going to go down. So,
yeah, which exactly proves our point, that they shouldn't be making that much money to have that much money to lobby with, correct?
Well, exactly. And, you know, I saw a number last week. Again, we're talking about a lot of numbers, but the total profit of the 10 largest insurance companies in the last 8 years went from $2.4 billion to $12.9 billion.
Wow.
So that's,
wow.
There probably is some room to get to affect some savings there.
Now, Representative, what are you hearing? I don't know if you saw, I know, you know, at least in one place I saw it was on Ed Schultz's show yesterday on MSNBC that he was pushing to say, look, you know, Congress should not be going on vacation without getting this done. Do you think that, are you hearing that that is a that could be a reality?
No, I don't hear much of that. The real issue now is whether we push for a vote on in the House before August recess, and there's a considerable amount of sentiment in the House, in the Democratic caucus, that we shouldn't do that, that we should wait, take our time, get input from our constituents over the August break, and then come back and do it. And this whole idea of rushing is, you know, it's one of the themes that the Republicans are emphasizing, and it's one that I'm very sensitive to. I think these artificial deadlines don't make sense. And I understand the need to try and get something done this year, but again, we've shoved a lot of big stuff down the American people's throat in a very short period of time, and they're getting a gag reflex.
Well, but Representative, I would beg to differ that, you know, I think what you'll hear on the break is what the polls are showing, and that is the vast majority of people want health care reform done, and they want a public option, and they want it done now. I mean,
I agree with you. Believe me, I went home last Friday night. The first person off the plane said, keep working on health care. We need that very much.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the citizens want.
There are figures, you know, Congressman, showing, I mean, the number of people that will lose their health care next month while you guys are on vacation, if that's, you know, and the number of people that will die. And, you know, so to me, it's like there is urgency to this you know, it seems like certainly our Republican friends are not getting the message on.
Oh, I agree. And the only question now is whether we can create the kind of comfort level in our own caucus, because we're not going to get any Republican votes in the House over the next 8 or 9 days, whether we can create enough comfort level in the caucus to have enough votes to pass it. That's the real issue for us right now.
Do you think the president will sway anybody tomorrow night?
Oh, I think he will. And that's what I've said. You know, I've said what he said the other day, don't bet against him. And when he really takes the fight to both the Congress and the American people, they can have a considerable impact. He is the messenger on this proposal. And he's the one with the loudest voice and the biggest megaphone. So once he's out there, I think it'll move some
people.
Well,
he does. I mean, he can't be overstated that he does have a way of communicating and a way of explaining things to people that I think, you're absolutely right, can't be underestimated. I mean,
right.
He still is a very popular president.
That's right. And one thing that a lot of people who are anxious out there have not quite focused on yet is what it means to them. And we've talked about the uninsured, and that's certainly an important thing. But we haven't focused enough, I think, on the individual, on the small business person, to tell them what the benefits of this program are for them. And that's what we're going to be focused on as members of the Democratic caucus over the next few days and weeks. And I think the president's going to talk about that, too.
Well, talk to us about that for a minute, Congressman, because on the right, of course, that's all we're hearing is this is going to hurt small business.
Oh,
you know,
I know. You know, I was a small businessman before I came to Congress, and this is the best thing that could ever happen to a small business. As I said before, we're talking about insurance rates that are going to go through the roof over the next 10 years if we don't act. The ability for a small business to have a competitive marketplace, first of all, is going to hold their costs down. Secondly, it's going to prevent people, if they have to drop coverage because of costs, all their employees will be able to go to an insurance exchange where they can get competitive price coverage, so they won't have to go to work for some big company just for to get a coverage. And these are the things that the small businesses care most about. It's the unpredictability of their rates, these 15, 20, 30% increases every year. They can't budget for them. They can't afford them. And this is the one plan that will hold those costs down because it creates competition. And insurance companies will be competing for their business instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, keep on doing the Lord's work for us, won't you, sir?
Will do.
All right. And thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Okay, Stephanie. Good talk to you.
There he goes. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky.
Commonwealth
of Kentucky. That's the important thing. 43.
Yes, it is.
Minutes after the hour. All right. Back with the right-wing screamers and their... We'll try to divine a point in anything they're saying as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Betty in Seattle on healthcare. Hi, Betty.
Yes, I'm calling about very annoying man who was saying that the rich would not continue to work if they had a disincentive because of so many taxes. And I can tell you, I have so many friends, neighbors, myself, who have so many creative ideas that would start businesses, new entrepreneurial adventures if they could rely on health insurance. This is a country so full of creativity if we had the health insurance to support it. And my friends in Canada say you can't imagine the peace of mind, the release from stress, the level of creativity that surfaces when you know that your health is going to be taken care of. I think it's a country full of creativity and richness. Mm-hmm. We can let the rich go. All the rest of the country can pick up the slack and get this country going if we had health insurance. Yep. So I call my legislators twice a week about this, and I'm starting to call other people's legislators.
All right. Thank you. All right, Betty. The healthcare debate, of course, heating up once again, just when you thought it couldn't get hotter. The president, of course, will give a big speech tomorrow. Melody Barnes, the White House domestic policy advisor.
We're going to bend the curve on healthcare costs to make sure that he passes and signs a bill that's deficit neutral, and in the future, costs won't continue to spiral out of control. You know, you have to think about the future and solving our healthcare and our economic problems for the future as well as today.
This is one can. I just think we cannot continue to kick down the road. And I'm sure the president will talk more about that. Representative Jerry Connolly, Democrat of Virginia.
I think it's premature to be talking about a tax increase when we haven't identified, in my opinion, every saving to be had. And then secondly, the way the surcharge was described, it would have an impact not only on people over a certain income level, it would also have an impact on a lot of small businesses.
So that's what Nancy Pelosi was talking about yesterday, is raising the trigger on the surcharge, because that will allay concerns of Democrats like Jerry Connolly. But you know what? It seems to me like that's legislation. You got to do both. You have to find the savings and figure out how you're going to pay for it. I mean,
And I think they're doing that, finally.
Representative Tom Coburn, he of the hilarious Ricky Ricardo. And did he do any impressions on healthcare yesterday?
Not yesterday.
Did he do Howie Mandel and put like a big rubber glove, surgical glove on his head or anything?
He just played doctor with Nancy Pelosi.
I think he's doing William Frawley, but nobody got what he was doing. Hey, Fred. Ricky.
Yeah, because a William Frawley impression is so in demand.
I'm wearing my pants up on my boobies.
Ah!
If I go any higher, you won't even see my head.
This is my Chad Everett impression. Nobody gets it? What? Okay.
The problem in healthcare is cost. But the problem is we don't need to spend more money. We need to get more value for the money that we spend. And we can cover everybody in this country at the same level we cover members of Congress and not spend a penny more. But we can't do it unless we have a transparent market.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. We're already spending more than pretty much any country in the world, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I just looked at the WHO 2007 World Health Rankings, not the band.
Right.
Yeah. The World Health Organization survey. France is number one. Best healthcare system in the world. Huh. And by definition, it is French and gay.
And yes. We're number 37 with a bullet.
Yeah, 37 between Costa Rica and Slovenia. And, you know, very close on our tails is Ojibwe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ojibwe is our very close. Right up on our heels.
If you get sick in Bratislava, don't worry about it, because they have the second best health care in the world right behind us. Yeah!
We're about to get lapped by Burkina Faso. Let's go to Madeline in Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Madeline.
Hey, listen, here's a solution. Don't let anybody take the August holiday and cancel all Congress's insurance, health insurance, and all of their staff.
There you go.
And hit them right in the nose, and they're going to go, oh, God, maybe we should do something.
And I say we take their who berries and their who beast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, my sweet little tot.
Yes, we'll say there's a light on our health care tree. It broke it.
Sweet little tot.
Yes.
The fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here.
In the meantime, we'll take your little government plan.
And just leave little tacks and wire
and
on the wall.
And your vacation. All right, let's go to Noel in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Noel.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, listen, an earlier caller stated that she was on the phone twice a week calling her representative, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been doing the same thing. I want to tell everybody out there, especially those people from states where their representatives may be wavering, the Democratic elected officials. If they have the Democratic elected official who's wavering on this health...
Yeah, exactly. Don't sit here and go, oh, the blue dogs. Go bitch slap a blue dog. That's what, that's what your assignment is.
We have to tell them, you know what, you put my health insurance on the chopping block, we put your job on the chopping block, period. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, you know what? That's easier said than done. Most of these Blue Dog Democrats come from very conservative districts. We are lucky to have a D from those districts.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could very easily vote out those Blue Dog Democrats and get a real Republican in there, and then we wouldn't have anything from them. So that is easier said than done, Noel.
Well, then again, if our Congress people can be insured, then by all means, their constituents should be insured as well.
Right, absolutely. But you know, like I said, we are lucky to have those Blue Dog Democrats.
Yeah, but
in our column.
I'm just saying, don't underestimate public pressure on politicians. Yeah. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just have a question about the drugs on the healthcare system.
Uh-huh.
I heard something, I don't know what program, that the bill will ban the United States government from negotiating with Canadian pharmacies or drug manufacturers. Is this true? If so, it's going to be the same thing as Medicare and what's going on now. That scares me.
That's one piece I haven't heard anything about.
I haven't heard anything about that, and
yeah.
I think we would have.
Yeah, I would be. Exactly. We're the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Yeah.
You read our mail that most people now that Walter Cronkite is gone.
Stephanie Miller.
Newscast of record.
Most trusted person in news.
We would have been told. Okay, let's... whatever. Gordon, if we hear something, we'll tell you.
Yeah, let's ask Margaret Cho if she knows.
Maybe Margaret Cho knows.
Yeah.
Gordy in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. It just seems to me that if we redirect the resources that have been spent for the obscene and felonious profits of corporations like Halliburton and KBR, then we could make this whole program deficit neutral.
Yeah, don't you wish we had back all that taxpayer money? It went down to the black hole of Halliburton during Iraq. Let's go to Trini. Oh, am I saying that right? Reno. Hello, Trini.
Hi. My question is, how come nobody's questioned anything about the pharmaceutical companies? They make billions of dollars on on medications and stuff. I have a prime example. A few years ago, I had to take a prescription antacid, okay? And my copay was like $30. But the doctor said because I had such bad acid reflux.
Me too.
That I had to take it twice a day.
What'd you take?
I think it was Prevacid.
That's what I'm on, Prevacid, yep.
Yep, and at the time, my insurance company dropped the coverage of that, and I didn't
know. Yeah, me too, that happened to me too. Yeah, exactly, they're like, take a Tums, call us in a couple of years.
Right, and I went in, you know, I ordered it and stuff, not thinking anything of it, and I went into the pharmacy, and they said, oh, that'll be $265.
Yep, that happened to me. That happened to me.
Pouring an acid, and they said, yeah, well, it's coming out in over-the-counter soon, and I'm going, oh, this is ridiculous. So, you know, how many drugs do they overprice and price gouge? I thought it was against the law to price gouge. And
that
should be investigated.
Exactly. She sounds like hers is better. Mine is not because of the, I think it's making disastrous decisions in your life.
That's why people go to Canada for the drugs.
Yeah. That's why I continue to have a bad stomach. Margaret Cho coming up next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes the Corvette ZR1 at parts that spacing dealers
Damn
only.
It.
Stop bitching about the Corvette.
But I want the Corvette.
You don't have room to park your Corvette.
I don't what?
You don't have room to park your Corvette in your building.
That is most likely true.
You probably get a little teeny weeny parking space.
The president opened a medium-sized can of whoop-ass on health care yesterday.
Now, we've talked this problem to death, year after year. But unless we act, and act now, none of this will change.
He will open the large-size can tomorrow night, I believe. Meanwhile, right-wing tool Governor Haley Barbour, Republican of Mississippi, after we could afford the unnecessary wars and God knows what else, we can't afford this now.
The state's financial condition just doesn't allow us to take on what could be tens of billions of dollars of additional cost. And this is not a partisan issue.
No, of course not. We just want it to be Obama's Waterloo.
We want the president to fail, but not in a partisan way.
Okay, you know, if only there was somebody that could lighten the mood and, you know, make us feel... What? Why, who is it, Jim?
It's the hilarious Margaret Cho.
That's the funniest woman in the world!
Yes, it is!
Good morning, funniest woman in the world.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's so true. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Your press release here, you have added a new title, apparently, to your long list of titles. Margaret Cho, comedian, actress, director, author, activist, and... starter. You have been a starter for quite some time.
Oh, well, that's true. I think that's a pretty fair description. I like that.
We love us some starters on the Stephanie Miller Show. What you're doing everything everywhere. I'm not sure how you're able to do this, but you're on, first of all, you're on tour.
Yeah, I'm on tour. My dogs are going crazy. I'm going to start being on tour more like at the end of, I think, closer middle of September, I'm going to go out to do some dates. I've just been kind of working on the show, Drop Dead Diva, and doing some acting. So I've been living in Peachtree City, Georgia for the last 6 months.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's lovely there.
I must ask you before we continue, do you have a chihuahua barking in a coffee can? What exactly?
There is a chihuahua barking in the coffee can, but I'm letting her out now.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So now... So tell us about it. Drop Dead Diva is on Lifetime, correct?
It's on Lifetime, and it's a show that I am one of the stars of. And it's a show about a super thin, blonde, kind of spokesmodel girl who dies in a car accident and then comes back as a brilliant but insecure lawyer. So it's all about how our society views a certain kind of beauty over another kind of beauty, and I think it's just being... So it's a very exciting show.
Wow. And there's nothing funnier than death in a car crash.
I know. Isn't that hilarious?
Right away, you have comedy.
Right away.
No, but I've heard the show is great. But so you're also, and this new tour, you're singing. You're doing songs from your CD.
A little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit. I've been doing music for a few years now, and so now I'm trying to actually play along. So I'm thinking maybe I'll do one song a night.
Wow.
But I'm actually playing guitar, which is the coolest, because you know I love the singer-songwriter, so it's very exciting to actually be one.
You are now Margaret Cho Rockstar, in addition to your other styles.
Absolutely. So it's very, very exciting. But I'm doing a new comedy album with a bunch of amazing music people, like Andrew Bird, I just wrote a song with, and John Bryan and Grantley Phillips and Garrison Starr and lots of wonderful people. So I'm excited about it. It'll be out sometime next year, I think.
Yeah, your live stuff is hilarious to the point. I think I choked on something last show was of yours.
That's
I did fall into the aisle, I believe.
Good. I'm glad. That's the point. That's the whole point of it all.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about everything going on politically? Because I know we talked during the campaign and you were very involved.
I was very involved, but then I said, I think I was a little bit too negative about McCain and you know, Cowan, and I got in trouble a little bit.
A little too negative in what sense? Like,
I was like, everybody's all John McCain. Oh, he's a good soldier. He's a good soldier. He was captured. So he was not that good.
See, that right there, that's the kind of... starter stuff that you do.
And
who politically incorrect.
Who gave you crap for that?
Well, I was asked to leave the Obama campaign. I was actually on the Obama campaign for almost the whole year, and they just didn't ask me back.
Oh, wow.
And then I got taken off the email list, which is the saddest thing.
Oh, dear. Now, you know that's when it's bad, because everyone gets those Obama emails.
Everybody gets the Obama, but then they're like, not her. Everybody but her.
You weren't allowed to play in any of their reindeer games anymore.
It was really sad. But, of course, I'm very excited that I think he's doing an amazing job. And you know, he's had to sort of reverse all the stuff that's happened in the last 12 years or something. I think he's doing amazing.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know, we've been talking about is it just seems like people are so impatient. He's been president less than 6 months, and he was left with, you know, just amazing mounds of flaming political dog poo, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It was the hugest house party that lasted for 12 years, and, it, you know, he's got to clean it up. And it doesn't,
right. Well, like, you know, I don't know if you're, you know, paying attention much to this healthcare debate, but it's just, you know, it seems like the right wing, really their only plan is to have his plans fail. That's sort
all
of,
they want.
Yeah.
It's like they want to prove something, and it's ridiculous. It's not in service of the country at all. It's just to prove that they're right, and it's crazy.
Yeah, well, and plus it's like, I guess the contention is like our healthcare system is working just spectacularly well now, which I don't know who thinks that, you know?
Who thinks that?
I don't know. What if you were to have some sort of horrible guitar accident while on tour? You see what
right,
I'm saying?
Exactly.
Some sort of catastrophic rock star injury.
You never know.
Exactly. What would
happen?
So one other, I mean, you know, how are you feeling about, I know you did also a lot of work on the Prop 8 and the gay marriage stuff.
That's very disappointing. That's
yeah.
very upsetting. You know, that, and I have this thing where, you know, I live in Georgia, and so I go to the gym every day, and every day at the gym there's these magazines. They put out the Focus on Family magazine, which are the, you know, main contributors to the whole Prop 8 debacle, and they're just very conservative. So I bring all my outs and my advocates and I lay them out on top of Focus on Family. But by the time I'm done working out, I come back and all the Focus on Family are on top of my gay magazine. So it's just, you know, it's a fight and it escalates, you know, like.
And it's a fight and there's no.
Italian Men's Vogue and it's, you know, put that on top.
It's a fight and there's no tactic too immature for you. And I love that about you. You're
no,
a street
you
fighter.
Put it on top. Well, we don't throw away each other's magazines, which I think is it's very admirable that they don't actually wind up in the garbage.
Yeah. Well, that would be a startling sight to see Margaret Cho on a Stairmaster in Georgia reading the Family Advocate magazine, whatever that magazine is. Focus on the Family.
It's kind of like they have a centerfold and it's just a baby.
Oh,
it's real weird.
Oh God.
They're just real into the babies.
Like a fetish for the babies.
They love the babies. They want you to keep having them.
That's all you can suss out from that.
I mean, writing in crayon, gay. Focus on the gay family.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they should focus on.
Margaret, keep on fighting that good fight for us and being a starter, among other things. MargaretCho.com, by the way, is where you could find out all things Margaret Cho about her tour and much more. Honey, thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Thank you.
All right, honey. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
There she goes.
Yay!
She'll be on, oh, by the way, Chelsea Lately on the E! Network.
Tonight.
There you go.
Do not miss it.
Among her many, many. She's everywhere doing everything. That's hilarious. You see the look on some right-wing Georgian's face when an advocate has been placed over...
They could do a compromise.
Focus on the Family.
Guns and assless chaps.
Sort of monthly.
Hybrid.
Well, the advocate can be a little bit, you know, straight-laced. They should put something like Instinct magazine right up there. That has the naked man on the cover.
Really cute, really gay like GQ.
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. That's too gay for West Hollywood. I mean, all right. By the way, this story I'm just doing, it's a fun stack because someone sent me a why.
Yay!
Because it's about two things that we love, and that is Sheboygan and poo, which is about poo. Because, you know, a lot of people are having a bad day in this economy, in this housing crisis, and the Flavin and the...
Whatever.
However, you are not in prison getting poo flung at you, so that's why this...
So far.
Well, okay.
Yeah, the day's
still
young.
It's early, at least on the West Coast. A Wisconsin female inmate will spend another year and a half in prison for throwing her feces at another prisoner.
Oh.
She was recently sentenced, according to the Sheboygan Press.
Can they prove it was her feces?
I think so, Jim.
Yeah.
Correctional officers saw her and another inmate yelling and punching each other on the day of the incident. They noted there was feces, quote, all over the walls
and on
both women. I just love the quote. I did the story because it's from Sheboygan, and the quote from the female prisoner, while being escorted away, she said, "I've been saving up my all day for that."
Oh, boy.
Let's see. She had a plan. Saving, she started her day with a plan.
It was saving up my S all day for that
I'm
S.
I'm saving all my poo for you.
That's magical, Jim. Thank you. See, we made something good out of that story. All right. So the health care debate continues. The president is going to speak today as well, I understand?
No, he's all over, like, the Today Show and, yeah, all over those kinds of shows today.
Well, the big speech is tomorrow night, but obviously he continues to talk about health care wherever he goes because he has to deal with right-wing tools like Bill O'Reilly talking about some craziness, Jim, that health care being a right? What?
His health care plan will create more debt the country will ever be able to repay, no matter how much it taxes.
Uh-huh.
But the New York Times and other left-wing media don't care.
Mm.
They want the health care entitlement, seeing it as a human right.
Yeah.
So there's a little scrutiny about the president's incredible spending by the press, because the press is sympathetic to Mr. Obama's agenda.
Oh.
So now he's worried about the debt.
Oh.
It didn't exist under Bush,
according
to
him. Right.
I guess the liberal media was complicit in Bush running up the debt, too. See how tricky we are like that?
It's a big old master plan.
Mm. I see. So, but that's some sort of craziness. You saw he did the air quotes with his voice. This they think it's a right. I'll think I'm going to write. Okay, O'Reilly.
If we continue to go in this direction, the United States of America will be bankrupt. Perhaps,
agree.
Perhaps by the end of this year. That's how fast it's going.
Uh-huh.
The media is not reporting that story. They are continuing to report that Obama's vision, this giant federal apparatus to solve everybody's problems, whether it be health care, the environment, whatever it may be, you have to do it. And the country's heading for the California cliff. It's not skepticism in the reporting. It's pro-Obama reporting.
Mm.
And I think that that Walter Cronkite, as I said, now would have said, go, yes, that's right. But 35 years ago would have said, don't do that. Challenge Obama.
Oh, Walter Cronkite, if you had gone back in time, would have, much as
Walter
he turned against the Vietnam
hated Obama.
Much as he turned against the Vietnam War, he would have said no.
Right.
No health care reform in America. That's what Walter Cronkite
trying
would have
trying to capitalize on Cronkite's death.
Done.
He's not around
yeah.
to defend himself against pinheads like O'Reilly.
Exactly. I was just thinking, how shameless is that?
That was
use
shameless.
Walter Cronkite
yeah.
to say, here's what he would have thought?
And by the way, you know why the debt looks so big? Because we're finally counting all the money being spent
on the
in
war.
Iraq and Afghanistan, which Bush left off
the books. He shoved it all. He swept all of that under the carpet.
Yeah.
With supplemental spending,
yeah.
which isn't included in the budget.
Invisible spending.
Right. Mm. Now we're including it in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The way it should be.
Walter Cronkite would have been against Barack Obama's health care based on what? Bill, you crazy.
Oh, all right. Nice to see you. What are you going to get back over? Oh, hello.
Yeah, I don't know. All of, you know what? All lately, Jim, all of Bill O'Reilly's points sound like this to me. They just do. They all sound like just little popcorny thoughts, just little thought kernels that are exploding in his big, crazy head.
Oh, no. The song is written for him.
Oh. Okay, that's silly.
Yes.
Yes. That's yes.
That's the point of it. Okay. When we come back, speaking of silly, Sean Hannity and his little sidekick, Dick Morris, and their, if you think that was crazy, where do you hear Dick's thoughts on health care?
And how he says it.
Mm-hmm. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Chicago on healthcare. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning, Mama.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm working in a commercial building for the last couple weeks, and one of the reasons I think healthcare might be so expensive is because the office downstairs has 7 or 8 people working in it. The drug reps buy them lunch out every day. They get their pizza, they get their Chinese, they get the subs, they get wings, they get, you know, dinner Italian, they get fish fries. It's unbelievable. Every day somebody's coming through with food to go.
Yep, we have all to tighten our belts. Like, for instance, Jim, here in the little radio shack where we do our show, we bring leftovers every day, don't we?
Yes.
And the fancy right-wing guy next door, he has a private chef come in. And,
he has a chef. Once in a while, he throws us a bone.
He does. Yeah. You poor little progressive host like to suck off
he's got
my...
You know what, though? You brought leftover salad. Salad should never be left over.
No, it's
the best I can do. These are tough times. Okay.
Someday we may have a splitter in here so we can actually have 2 headphones and 1 jack.
No, that's Wouldn't ridiculous. That that's crazy. That's, we don't get that.
That's more than ridiculous. That's redonkulous.
Okay. Sean Hannity doing his usual, you know.
6 months of hope and change, a soaring deficit, a failed stimulus, and a foreign policy ashamed of everything this country stands for. And, folks, he's just getting warmed up.
Oh. All right. Essentially, you know, the president said it yesterday. They want him to fail. This is the party of Rush Limbaugh. They are rooting for his failure. We have the Jim DeMint on tape. Do we have this Republican Jim DeMint talking about the president on health?
If we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. Mm. It will break him, and we will show that we can, along with the American people,
them too,
begin to push those freedom solutions that work
freedom
in every
solutions.
Area of our society.
A freedom solution.
We don't have the correct freedom solution.
Destroy the country and replace it with a freedom solution.
Too busy dancing to Waterloo. Yeah, I see. Wow. This is all about them wanting him to fail. They don't care about the American people. It's like an afterthought. Oh, and the American people, too, by the way. And the freedom and the flavor.
And what is his freedom solution? What solutions have these guys offered?
I don't know. At least according to Dick Morris, the president has a plan, albeit it's an evil socialist plan, and we will play that for you when we get back. It's you know what? He is perceptive, that Dick Morris. There's things you just don't know about the president's evil plans until Dick explains it to you. We'll be back with all that as we continue. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know what I hate?
Stephanie Miller.
Not me. That's my idea of heaven.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. We welcome Chris Lavoie's new friends in Phoenix, Arizona, who are joining the show for the first time this morning. The first time they've ever listened.
My friend Rick. Yeah.
And his reaction?
Yes. He said, OMG. All I have to say is poo. I mean, seriously, poo?
It's hard to explain what the show is about. You should have just said it's about poo. Mostly.
Well, senators and poo. Senator poo. Senator poo.
When there's a story about poo, we will do it.
Of course we will.
Okay, let's... And if you missed that, too bad for you. Nancy, and it was actually about the flinging of poo.
Yeah. And not monkeys.
And no monkeys were involved.
Yeah. And that's the story about the healthcare debate. Because the Congress
people... I get your freedom solution. We're so freaking highbrow.
Nancy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nance.
Stephanie, I'm so happy to be in your show. I'm just about peeing my pants.
See, now the show
it's
is about
pee
and poo.
Well,
about pee and
okay.
poo.
All right. Okay, so check it out. I'm a nurse, and I've heard, like, you know, there's all kinds of crazy theories about why healthcare is so expensive. And let's face it, it's because it's for profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they jack up the prices of everything so that they can get, you know, they increase everything by like 30% so that you
right.
get compensated.
Well, Nancy, that's okay. exactly it. You've hit exactly the crux of it. It just the whole concept of let's make money on people's pain and suffering. How can we make more money on people's pain and suffering? That's exactly it.
Okay, but But being a nurse, I heard some ding-dong talking about the reason that healthcare was so high.
We're talking about ding-dongs.
Talking about what?
He actually said that the reason that the healthcare was so expensive was because of nurses' salaries.
Ah. Yes, you people.
I hate to swear on the air, but having been a nurse for 18 years, my salary was $32 an hour.
See, you capitalist pig.
I was a
pig.
Nurse for 18 years.
Yep. Yep.
So you're going to buy the Ferrari or the Maserati?
Or as Arnold Schwarzenegger would call it, special interest in the nurses, things of this nature.
You know, that's where all the money's going. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here.
Ah, I broke my femur. Where are the nurses?
Yeah. Now you need a nurse, don't you? Now you need a special interest, don't you, Governator? He tends to break his femur. We don't know why.
Ah, my femur!
Wasn't it while skiing?
My
other
femur. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't he also break in his motorcycle accident?
I think maybe when your leg muscles get that big, if you hit it hard enough, it'll just snap the bones. There's so much mass.
He's not that big anymore, though.
Mm. All right. See, here's the thing. On the left, we care about everybody. For instance, we wish that Dick Morris had the health care plan, which would have allowed him to get that last prostitute toenail out of his...
larynx.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Because tell me in this soundbite if he doesn't sound like it's just there's something like, you know, when you get that one popcorn kernel caught, you know, you just can't get it out. Oh, no, that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't listen for that, but listen for the ridiculous thoughts about the president's socialist plot.
His attitude is, I want to complete a socialist takeover of the United States before my popularity runs out. And if I'm a one-term president, I don't care. I accomplished my objective. And we are stuck. Everybody has to understand, when he talks about lowering the cost of health care, he's talking about denying health care to the elderly.
What?
Oh,
no.
My God.
Perhaps the president will expand on that tomorrow night on his plan to deny health care to the elderly.
Oh, he's also going to speak at the Rose Garden today, so maybe he'll break the
news
today.
Perhaps he'll break the news for Dick
Morris. Wants to deny coverage of the morbidly obese, whose internal organs are completely surrounded by fat and prostitute toes.
It sounds like his insides are liquefying. Seriously.
I'm literally drowning in adipose tissue.
And he sounds like Wonderbug.
Well, I was saying earlier, I think more like Muttley.
Mutley. Yes.
Well, in his case, Smutley, because of the prostitutes. But he does. He gets a little breathless when he's in.
He just wants his socialism to be dead.
What is wrong with us today?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I think it is magical of us to want for Dick Morris a health care plan that would have gotten that remaining prostitute toenail out of his larynx.
It's gotten infected, and it's liquefying his insides. That is what's happening to Dick Morris.
I need whole body lipo.
He has no muscle mass left. That's why he looks the way he does, like a great big beanbag chair.
He does. He looks like a beanbag chair with eyes.
Yes.
I need all my internal organs removed and rearranged so they can't find they're all being strangled.
Looks like he ate Harvey Fierstein. It's just he's trapped in there. Okay.
Get me out of here. Oh, my God. What's this, Shonda?
Can you please say, I just want to be loved?
I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
I just want to
get out of Dick Morris's body.
I just want out of Dick Morris's body. I don't know how it got in here.
I'm going to need to take a break. Okay, Steve in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. First of all, Walter Cronkite was in favor of legalizing drugs. And if we end the drug war, we can pay for national health. The drug war is a $100 billion a year issue. $60 to $80 billion we waste in the drug war. Prison kills far more people than drugs. The drug war kills more people than drugs. Mm-hmm. And if we then tax the drugs, we pick up another $20 billion plus, which gives you $100 billion a year for 10 years, which is the exact same trillion that they're talking about being the cost of the health plan.
Yep, absolutely.
Drug gangs would have nothing to fight over because it's all legal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Michael Steele, which I normally say, what is the point of him? But I guess the point
That's how I roll, yo.
Oh. The point is comedy, I guess. Here he is on the president's risky experiment.
He's conducting a dangerous experiment with our health care and with the quality of our lives.
Oh.
He's conducting a reckless experiment with our economy. And he's conducting an unnecessary experiment with our tax dollars.
He said it's a risk our country can't afford. It's too much, too fast, too soon. He announced the launch of a new website which criticizes the Obama administration for the biggest spending spree in our nation's history. While showing video of young people, the commercial says the Obama administration's health plan risks their future and our health.
Oh, shut up.
Steele said that for a private health plan to have to compete with insurance backed by the government, it's like an alligator competing with a chicken.
Huh?
What? Huh?
Yeah, that's insightful. And then when they ask him a question about health care, it's like, oh, I don't do policy.
That's what he said.
I don't know.
That's what he said when asked about some of the specific tough choices legislators have faced. Steele demurred. On the issue of requiring individuals to buy insurance coverage, Steele said, I don't do policy. I'm not a legislator. My point in coming here today is to set a tone. I'm just here to set a tone.
Well, then why is he the head of the GOP?
He's just setting a tone.
RNC. Well, yeah, RNC.
But, there's a forum on the healthcare issue, which he knows nothing about.
Yes, one would think that one might come armed with some sort of knowledge about said issue.
Ask him a simple question. Well, you know, there's some disagreement between the Senate and the... I don't know.
This is my point. They don't have a plan. Their plan is to defeat Barack Obama's plan.
Right.
That's their plan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually have a healthcare plan. That's what I keep struggling to understand. It's like, okay, well... You know, good people can disagree. Then what? How would you fix it? And they don't have a plan.
They want to undo the election.
They
want to defeat Obama in some way.
They have fear. That's what they have. Fear was at least one element of his tone.
Elephant?
This reckless approach is an ill-conceived attempt to push through an experiment, and all of us should be scared to death. So slow down, Mr. President. We can't afford to get health care wrong, said Steele.
We've got it wrong now, you pinhead.
Yeah, we can't afford to be 37th in the world while we spend more than any country in the world. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. All
I
right.
thought it was Slovakia. Slovenia. Sorry. I should have
Pardon
said Ljubljana.
We are between...
Ljubljana, Slovenia.
We are between...
Ljubljana, Slovakia.
We're between Costa Rica and Slovenia.
A different country. Yes.
And Wimbawe is fast on our heels in terms of health care.
I think
Burkina Faso is giving us a run for the money as well.
Health care in Wimbawe is not to be eaten by the lion.
that's pretty much.
Run faster.
Yeah, that's health care in a Wimbawe.
The lion sleeps tonight. Oh, thank God.
Whew. I can nap.
All right. More bad news for Republicans and good news for America on the economy. I'll tell you what it is as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bo in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate. Hi, Bo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't normally pay attention to idiots, but Steele kind of caught my attention this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The whole waiting 8 to 12 months, I've waited a year and a half. I can't wait another 8 to 12 months. It's just that simple. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, there was a nonpartisan group. They did the statistics yesterday on the TV machine about how many people, I forgot, it's a huge number of people that will lose their insurance next month while Congress is on vacation, and the number of people that will die. You know, so to say there's not urgency, it's like, well, tell that to the people losing insurance.
Well, it's easy for them because they've got it.
I mean, yeah, exactly, exactly. While you go off on your little vacation with your lovely public insurance.
We don't want to rush this thing. Mm-hmm. Wait another 30, 100 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Jim in Detroit on Dick Morris. Hello, Jim.
Oh, I don't know about Dick Morris's health care, but what about his legal fees for using B. Arthur's voice? Does
Could you say Walter, please?
Oh, Walter.
Okay. See? Would B. Arthur's estate.
Walter,
I think,
let me suck your toes.
Tom in Orange County. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. You know, 40 years
ago, yesterday, we landed on the moon, and I went back to President Kennedy's speech in 1961, where he said, we choose to do these things not because
they're
easy, but
because
they
are hard.
Yes, thank you. Very good. All right. So it's like, well, like we
said, I believe this nation should commit itself to landing a man on the moon before this decade is out and leaving him there to die, rather returning him safely to the earth.
That was the initial draft, yeah.
Yes. All right. As we've said previously, Jim DeMint, Republican of South Carolina, I think has summed up the Republicans' party plan, and that is just for Obama to fail. That's what it's
if
all
we're
about.
Able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. Mm. It will break him, and we will show that we can, along with the American people, begin to push those freedom solutions that work in every area of our society.
Did he go on to expound on what a freedom solution entails exactly on health care?
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Oh!
So you should
just
die.
Get to be free of your life because you have no health care.
It follows the GOP's health care plan.
Oh, for God's sake, just die!
Okay. At least it's simple. It has that going for it.
It is understandable.
Okay, so for months, the question on Capitol Hill has been, what will the insurance companies do? So far, the industry has stayed at the bargaining table and held its fire in the ad wars.
No, they poured a lot of money into the ad wars.
I've seen three of them, I think.
Which ones are they? Who's the sugary drinks, the fruit drink one?
That's the Food and Beverage Manufacturing Association.
So everyone wants health care, but you do that by going to the park and chopping wood and drinking fruit drinks, which are not taxed. For some socialist health care plot.
Tim, if you paid attention to the point of the commercial, you don't chop wood. You break it in a manly way over your leg.
The man does.
Yes.
Right, and you broke your femur. Now I need health care. I broke my femur with a stick.
See? Trying to be manly, showing off with a wife, breaking wood down near your man sack down there. And what happens?
My femur.
Now you need health care. Good job.
No, but they've got billions to spend on all these ads as propaganda.
Yeah, but anyway, I was
going to
say,
this
is what I was going to say. They've started the cable TV ad buy in favor of bipartisan health care reform that can cover everyone.
Watered down.
Yeah, but make no mistake, the ads are sending a strong don't tread on us message, not so much a shot across the bow of reform as a reminder of the industry's ability to weigh in at any time with messages pro or con. Just the latest sign that the health care debate is about to get a lot noisier as groups decide they can no longer stay on the sidelines. So you think it's bad now.
We can't afford health insurance, but we can afford ad buys for millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Okay. From profits that they made off the backs of American
by denying
sick people.
Coverage.
Yeah.
Here's more bad news for the people rooting for the president to fail and thereby America as well. Because if the president fails, you see, we're kind of in this together. Economic indicators are up more than expected in June.
Oh, no.
Damn it!
More plans to build homes, higher stock prices, and fewer people filing first-time claims for jobless aid sent a private sector forecast of the U.S. economic activity higher than expected in June. It was the third straight monthly increase for the index of leading economic indicators, another sign pointing toward the recession ending later
this
year.
Crap! Stimulus is working. Damn it! Can I start another war?
I heard one expert saying, you know, yes, the stimulus probably should have been bigger, but it is working, you know, and that will be the worst news for
the time to watch out for phony terrorist attacks to distract people. Look, while he was worried about health care and the economy, look what happens.
Speaking of which, Cheney, the focus of the Intel subcommittee. The House Intelligence Subcommittee on Intelligence and Investigations will begin a full investigation into charges that the CIA misled Congress about a covert spy program for 8 years, a probe that could put Vice President Dick Cheney front and center.
Mm-hmm. I think they should finally get him to talk under oath about 9/11, or what he was doing that morning, down to the bunker.
Okay. All right. That will make the folks at Fox News heads explode, as will Senator Al Franken's first bill. He pumped out his first bill, a measure allocating funds to buy and train service dogs for wounded Iraq and Afghanistan veterans.
What a commie.
Mm-hmm. As you know, he has been dedicated to entertaining the troops for quite some time now in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And doing it without tooting his own horn about it.
Yeah.
I know.
He goes quietly on USO tours and entertains the troops. He doesn't...
And he's also a dog lover. I didn't know this. Whose black lab, Kirby, died of bone cancer during the campaign.
Oh, no.
My dog... Well, you know, Pooh Bear, my dog, he died of bone cancer. So good for you, Senator Al Franken. All right. Oh, thank God. Esmeralda is going to support Sonia Sotomayor for the Supreme Court, so everything's good. Senator Ghostly.
Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine.
She looks like Esmeralda on Bewitched. She says it is so. So magically, she will be on the Supreme Court. She has becomes the fourth Republican to say publicly that she will break with her party's conservative leaders to support Sotomayor. The Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled a vote on Sotomayor's nomination for today, but panel Republicans expected to block the action and force a one-week delay.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're big right-wing tools. They're big obstructionist tools that just want to be sticks.
Because someone took their binky away.
Mm-hmm. How can you call me a right-wing tool when I wouldn't do that?
No, you're not an actual right-wing tool.
Oh, okay.
All right. Of course, the speaking of right-wing tools, can you believe what's his name, the Fox Pert?
Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters.
Said about this poor captured soldier in Afghanistan. Like, there's some, nobody knows exactly what the story is, but the fact is he's an American soldier that was captured by the Taliban.
Right, and he's being held hostage and being humiliated by sending out all of these videos.
Yeah, anyway, so this guy said, oh, the Taliban can do us a favor and save us legal bills. The implication being, yeah.
If he'd walked away from his buddies, then I hope he dies. Hope they kill him. Go ahead.
That's what Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, a Fox News analyst, said.
Yeah, that's what they mean by supporting the troops.
Right.
Some troops that they like. This is the his name is Bo.
Private First Class Bo Robert Bergdahl.
Yes.
I have a girlfriend who is hoping to marry. I have my grandma and grandpa's. I have a very, very good family that I love back home in America. Mm-hmm. And I miss them every day that I'm gone. I miss them. And I'm afraid that I might never see them again. And that I'll never be able to tell them that I love them again. I'll never be able to hug them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, speaking of one of the reasons people are screaming we can't afford health care, it's what we spend on these wars.
Yeah.
Robert Gates announced on Monday the size of the army will be increased by 22,000 soldiers to help meet the needs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Robert Gates.
The army faces a period where its ability to continue to deploy combat units at acceptable fill rates is at risk. Based on current deployment estimates, this is a temporary challenge which will peak in the coming year and abate over the course of the next 3 years.
Anybody thought about the fact that we could afford health care 17 times over had we not gotten into
Iraq?
Yeah, just the money we gave Halliburton alone.
Had they gotten Osama bin Laden when he was at Tora Bora?
Yes, we could be done in Afghanistan by now, too.
Of course, had we done that, we never would have gone to Iraq anyway, because the Bush would have lost his boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Ed in Pensacola, Florida, who is currently backing up his truck. Hello, Ed.
Hey, listen, two quick things. First, unfortunately, like with Medicare, I'm going to be a physician, and although people point to Medicare, they say, you know, it's only low, 3% administrative fees, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, Medicare and Medicaid are not viable going forward. So what the American people are going to have to ultimately accept is that, yeah, there's going to be wait times, there's going to be less. That's point number one. Point number two, just what you were getting to, like, no one seems to question the defense budget, including the Obama people. I mean, we cannot afford $690 billion, all these aircraft carriers all around the world. We got to wind down the empire here.
Yep, mm-hmm. I hear you. All right, that's it for us. Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire, joins us tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.